Well.
You are listening to Cracking the Rich Code with Miss Marilee, your insider's club from authors and entrepreneurs across the country, giving us their best to help us crack the rich code. And now, here is Miss Marilee.
Welcome, everybody, to Cracking the Rich Code Radio. I am Miss Marilee. Today, my guest is Norman Charles Duplass, a business professional with 30 years of diverse leadership. As a visionary executive, Norm has improved all aspects of business to include revenues and efficiencies, corporate image, customer service, employee culture, and, of course, the bottom line, profits. He has founded several businesses of his own and has proven a track. He has a proven track record for recognizing opportunities and bringing people together for a common cause to form a successful enterprise. So, Norman, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Marilee. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, I'm excited. You know, I don't know what happened in that little clip in the beginning, but there was a little bit of a stall. I had me worried.
Technology, lots of fun.
Exactly. Okay, so I want to get started. I'm really excited about your chapter. I love all the co-authors, how, you know, there's a common thread between everybody. And I'm just like, wow, I really hope that people are enjoying this and seeing this thread of what we all believe brings success.
Yes,
In your
absolutely.
Chapter, I want to ask you, yes, in your chapter, it says how to bring your business and your life to level 10. And you started out with your parents. I love that. You said, my parents taught me to respect myself and do what I love. Expand on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so fortunate to have been raised in a family and by parents that are so caring and loving and have taught me so many great things, not by telling me, but by showing me. So the importance of family, the importance of friends, the importance to do something that you love to do, and also really the importance of bringing passion to everything that you do. And I really get that from my mother, who's 88 years old now and still just full of youth and showing me and telling me and always showing me the proper way to do things and just living life to the fullest.
Yeah, you know what? It's so important. And what a blessing to have that foundation. A lot of people don't have that foundation.
Absolutely.
You know, they just don't have the freedom to follow what they love.
I know. Yeah, I know. And I'm very, very fortunate. Very fortunate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very fortunate to have been.
What would you say? I mean, what would you say to somebody? Like when you tell them, just do what you love, they're like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing that happens, Marilee, is you say, you know what? And I've had this conversation with many people because they know, the people that know me well, is always Norm's living life at level 10 and having fun. But I always tell them, well, what is your passion? And most of the time they say they don't know. So it's kind of like, well,
right.
If you don't know, let's start with the basics then. And you can see in someone's eyes, and everyone that's listening right now knows, you just have to ask a few questions to somebody, and you can see when their eyes light up and the passion lights
up.
Yeah. When they're talking about, mm-hmm. whether it's sports or they're talking about their business or they're talking about cars or they're talking about whatever it is, their eyes just light up. And there's where you really see the passion, and you can see how they know what they like. It's just that they haven't identified it yet. And too many of them are caught up in that day-to-day. I get up, I go to work, I come back, I get up, I go to work, kind of, and, you know, just that routine. And they don't realize that it's possible to reinvent yourself, and it's possible to really change. And I love Jim Rohn. I followed him for many years. He says, you know, you're not a tree. You can move.
Right.
A tree can't move. You can move. So wake up and reinvent yourself. But, you know, if someone says they don't know, well, that's the basics, you know. They just get down to the basis of stuff and say the basic plan is find out what you do love and try to make it your passion. Try to make it your everyday thing, not just the weekends or after work, and try to make it your living, you know.
Right, I agree. But I think that time is a real barrier for everybody. You know, it's like, how do I find the time to slow down from all my responsibilities to figure out what I love?
Yeah, absolutely. And in my chapter, my chapter at the end, I've got a quote or a letter from one of my best friends who passed away, unfortunately, in 2001. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, we only have 86,400 seconds a day, right?
Yeah.
Every one of us, no matter who you are in the world, everyone's got that common denominator, which is the 86,400 seconds. And I mean, bottom line is that if you can't take out of that time, if you can't take that time to identify what it is you want, prioritize it, make it an objective, a goal, then let's start with that first. Start with that part first, because surely you can carve out 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever minutes a day, or get up earlier in the morning, go to bed a little later, and start figuring out what your passions are, start figuring out what you want to do. Or if you're currently working your passions, taking the time to evaluate every day to make sure that you're on in the right track, in the right direction. And also, I mean, we hear this all the time, right? A lot of people, 90% of their time is spent on the wrong things. So just reevaluating that and saying, well, what am I spending my time on? What am I spending my 86,400 seconds a day? Like,
Facebook.
Just, well, there you go. I love that. Someone said, I don't have the time. And then I see they're on Facebook all the time, and it's posted. And I can tell what they ate when they went to the bathroom and everything else. And I'm like, you have the time. You're just not taking the. You're just not allocating the time properly.
Yep. I totally understand. And, you know, it sounds like, okay, 15, 20 minutes. I'm going to carve out 15, 20 minutes. But if I have to put my head together to figure out in that 20 minutes what it is I want to do or what my passions are, even that sounds exhausting. Because you need time to chill out, right?
Yeah.
And let that creative expression come out.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it can be for a lot of people that are, you know, waking up at 6, getting to work at by 8 or 9, and then stopping at, you know, getting back at 5 and go and then at 6. That's a tough routine to break out of, right? But you have to start somewhere. You just have to start somewhere, and you have to make it a priority. I always say that once we know what we want, there's virtually nothing that can stop us. I mean, obviously there's things that come in the way. But once you know what you want, in my experience, there's very, very little things that'll stop a human to achieve what they want. No matter what it is, they usually achieve it.
Right. And I think once you identify what it is you want, once you are able to dream big enough to think that is the life I want to live, then you can actually start going, okay, now I can recognize when opportunities come into my life, if it's in alignment with that dream.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. and you hit the, it's exactly what, once you've identified it, you know, we've all heard the story about when you're thinking of buying your Mercedes Benz and you buy your Mercedes and you're driving around, all of a sudden everybody's driving a Mercedes, right? So it's like you kind of activate that sixth sense. So once you've identified it, for some strange reason, and I can challenge just about anybody, that once you identify that, for some strange reason, there's that sixth sense that's activated, and a whole bunch of things that were there already, you just didn't see them, start coming into play. It's really it's an amazing.
It really is.
It's just crazy how it works.
Well, you know, and I know I'm full agreement, and I feel like for those who, you know, have struggled to believe in God, that right there, what you just said, confirms. I mean, how does that happen? How do we explain that? Because it's common. I mean, it's a common thread with all of us. That's how you start creating. You have to know what you want and start thinking about it. And the universe goes, oh, okay.
It's crazy. And again, anyone who's never done that, it's fun to do. It's really fun to do. And once you start proving it to yourself, and you start saying, well, boy, this is a coincidence. I don't believe in that, of course. But it's like you just wow, this is amazing. How does this happen? And then one thing leads to the next. And for some strange reason, there's a master plan somewhere. And things start just unfolding in front of you. And all the steps that you need just appear.
True. You're divinely guided. Absolutely on that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, I love when you said, here, my intent is to always show up. That's a big one.
It is. It is. And
people don't
solve
in their life.
The thing is, I was primarily in the pharmaceutical industry for a few decades. And one of the best managers I've ever had always said, 95% of it is showing up. And really, that's really where that comes from. And it's like, you need to show up. And
it's so true.
You show up. And it's like we were talking about earlier. Someone says, I don't have the time. I don't have the time. Well, show up. Make it so that you've got the time and start somewhere. If we're living in a first world country, like we're blessed to be living in, you say, what do you want? And we've got Dr. Google and we've got a whole bunch of other things that you can use. Mm-hmm. There's no excuse really to not show up, as opposed to going for another beer or going out with friends or going golfing or going whatever else that you're trying to get your satisfaction from. You just show up.
Right.
And I just like that expression. Show up. It's 90% of it.
It really is. I mean, that I'm such an advocate of that. And people don't show up. They don't have the, I would say the vision to show up.
Yeah.
Like, what's it going to do for me anyway?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, absolutely.
Talk
no, you're
attitude.
Right.
What attitude do we need?
What attitude do we need? We need the attitude that we can make a difference. We need the attitude that, and all of this comes from, again, one of my best managers that said, you know, we're all sitting around at playing volleyball by the ocean and just, but the music is really not good and everybody's complaining about it, right? So what does he do?
Yeah.
He goes and talks to the DJ and everything changed. And it was just such a visual for a time in my life that I just said, that's what it's all about. If you're not happy about something, get up, go out, make a difference. And it'll change. Mm-hmm. It's pure and simple, right? It's like, and again, anybody who's never done it, just try it. I don't care if you're in a restaurant.
Right.
I don't care if you're in a company. I don't care. Change what you think. Change what you're going to do. And then everything miraculously changes around you.
Mm-hmm. This is so true. We literally have to make an effort. Just make an effort. And I think... I've experienced with people struggling that effort is time consuming and they don't see past it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, showing up. Why am I going to go to that event? Why am I going to go to that party? What's going to happen when I'm there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm?
Very true.
So what? and I think for the rest of us who know, no, it's just showing up. You must have the intention that there's something there for you. Just do it.
Right.
You don't know what it is. And it may not even be the day that you show up, but there's something because you showed up.
No, exactly. And I mean, I'm sure a lot of your other listeners and a lot of people that you associate with know Tony Robbins quite well. And one of the best things that I learned from Tony was emotion is emotion, right? So if you're not feeling excited, if you're feeling a little out of sorts, get into motion. What does that mean? Get off your chair, go for a bike ride, go for a run, go for whatever you can do physically. And everything changes after you do that for 20 minutes. It's guaranteed. Mm-hmm. It's physiologically impossible not to have that happen. So it's like, again, try
That's
it.
True.
It's a lot of fun. You're not feeling good. Go for a walk, go on the treadmill, do some weights. Just get out. Emotion is emotion. And then you get back into your groove, you know?
Yep. And it's like when you sit in here, it's when you're vibrating at a level 10, you can feel the core of your soul. It's like, yes, you're talking about vibration. Get up and move. Right?
Exactly. Exactly. And everybody's experienced level 10. I'm almost 100% sure that everybody's experienced level 10. Certainly everybody that I associate with or everybody that I've known has experienced that level 10 energy when you just vibrate. And it's such a fun feeling to be there, you know, where much like this conversation, time just kind of stands still, but yet passes by like a blink of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just those times that are, and I really think that's what everybody's searching for. It's just living at level 10. That's why we love so much to go to a party, why we love so much to go see a good concert or a good movie, or we can love singing around a campfire with some friends and some songs and all that stuff. It's really living life to right in the moment, level 10.
Right. And it sounds to me like what you're saying is to live your bliss.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Make sure that,
you're
happy, whatever it is you're doing.
And then, you know, we all know that it's not like saying, oh, I got no problems, I got no worries and all that. That's not what it's all about. It's just doing your best to live that your life at level 10. Everyone knows it's not a dress rehearsal. You can't get back the 86,400.
Right.
You can't bank them. You can't say, I'm going to redo those ones. This is it. Mm-hmm. This is life. It's happening right now as we speak, and you can't redo it. So why not choose? Because, again, in first world countries, we have the choice to react to anything that happens to us. We can choose how we react to it. So we can't choose what happens. Mm-hmm. We can't always choose what happens to us as far as the environment, but we can always choose the way we react to what happens to us. And there is really where you're getting back to living your bliss and saying, this is my life. I'm going to live the best life I can and make the best out of everything and try to, again, live life to level 10.
You know, this is what I'm hearing. This is what I'm imagining. It's the... as a listener, you're thinking, okay, my life in the picture form, there's a lifespan of, you know, 90 years or something, maybe if we're lucky.
Yeah.
And it's like, we have time. I understand what you're saying. We have time. It's like, no, there has to be a sense of urgency.
That's
if I don't
right.
give up this minute.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's always
that's
funny, right?
Right now.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
And it's always funny how people know that. And it's funny how if you ever work on projects or you work with other people and you set a date of when it's going to be ready, it's almost guaranteed it's either going to happen on that date or shortly after or maybe a bit before, but you made it a priority to make it happen by then, right? So getting back to your comment is that, oh, yeah, I've got time tomorrow. I've got time. No, you say, listen, what's the priority right now? And we know this. Every single thing we do right now has a massive effect on what happens later. You don't eat one hamburger and have a heart attack. You don't put a dollar in the bank and become a millionaire. You don't, but everything you do today does that. Put a dollar a day, you'll become a millionaire in 50 years. Eat a Big Mac a day, you'll be sick in 10, well, probably 5 days. But I mean, it's just that, you know, it's every single thing has that cumulative effect. And it's so critical to make sure that we understand those 86,400 seconds and we understand that everything we do right now has a huge impact. But more importantly, it has a huge impact right now. So right now, we can choose to be level 10. We can choose to be level minus 50. It's us that choose that.
Right.
And there's the big difference because that's all we have is the present, right?
Right. So what about what happens when we start to feel bogged down? Like, hey, well, what can I do right now? What can I actually accomplish right now to change my life?
Yeah, well,
right now.
Hey, listen, everybody gets into a rut. Everybody gets into that, what am I going to do when I get older? when I grow up, I say, and some of us are 50 and still saying, what am I going to do when I get older? But I mean, bottom line is like I said with the Tony Robbins, is that motion is emotion. So start something, get up, get out. Start right away and do something to get those juices going, right? You can't stay in. Well, you can choose to stay in a rut, or you can choose to say, I'm not going to stay in that rut. I'm gonna make a difference in my life. I'm going to get up. I'm going to get out and make things happen. So that's a choice. You can choose to be miserable your whole life and live, I'm not going to say a meager existence, but you can just kind of choose whatever you want to do. That's up to the person to choose. But at the end of the day, you were asking, well, what can I do right now? Number one, get up and show up and start moving. Right? That's the biggest thing. And
so
I think go ahead.
No, I was going to say, just to your point, in your chapter, you're saying a person wants to be happy, and yet they focus on all the things that make them unhappy.
Yeah.
And
it's crazy.
And and that's to your point. It's like, what are you choosing right now?
It's crazy to me, and that's where my life learning has been. Is I don't understand. You know, you're in an airplane. The same exact thing is happening to both people. And one person says, oh, this is amazing. And the other one says, oh, this is crap. And I sat there and I was just going, what's the difference? What is happening to that person? And what is that person that says it's just a great thing? For example, an airplane didn't take off because it needed repairs. And that person says, man, I'm really mad. And the one beside says, hey, this is fantastic. I'm glad they found the problem on the ground. And you just go like, what is that? And that's just one example of thousands that I'm sure we've all heard. It's like, what makes that difference between that person that looks at the positive side and looks at the, this is a great thing, and the person that looks at, oh boy, this is really bad, right? And that's why I find it's just been a lifelong quest to find a way to help people, to find a way to show them a little bit of my philosophies. And as you mentioned at the beginning, the co-authors, just amazing. I didn't know any of the co-authors before I started this. And it's incredible. Every time I read a chapter, just going, this is really amazing how you can get 20, 22 people from different areas. I'm in Canada, so a bunch from the US, around the world. And virtually everyone's got, when you read the chapters, it's just amazing the link between the thought process and the way people think and the way people solve problems, the way that they identify success, the way that they try to help other people. It's just amazing the links between everyone.
That's exactly right. That's what I'm picking up too. With everyone that I talk to, it's really the same message reinforced with different language or different vocabulary. And I love it. And that's what you were talking about. So in here too is to reinforce that positivity if that's what you want to become.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And you said it before. I'm French Canadian. You might be able to tell from my little bit of an accent. So I'm French Canadian.
Uh-huh.
And you can't learn another language just by being exposed to one word once, right? Well, how is someone supposed to say, well, I want to change my life and I want a better life and I want it more than that. I have a great life, but I want to maintain that great life. But all I'm going to do is listen to whatever once and that'll be good. We know it's impossible. You can't learn a new language. You can't do anything by doing it once. So what's the key? The key is repetition. The key is surrounding yourself with a bunch of positive, like-minded people that want to make a difference. The key is making sure that you're practicing, making sure that you're constantly striving, looking for different keys, looking for different people. And then a guy like Jim Britt shows up. And it's like, it's just amazing the stuff that happens that, again, everything changes because he presents it in a different way that clicks. So there's so many different things and you just have to keep searching for it.
Yeah, that's true. You know, for those who are striving to be successful and, listening to this conversation, again, I can feel the pain of, okay, I got to do something over and over and over again. But where do I start? What do I do over and over again right now when I don't know which direction? I don't know what my passion is. I don't have time. What do I do?
One of the things there is to not complicate it and to really go back to what's the most important element of a car, for example. Well, a car can't go very far without an engine, right? It just doesn't work.
Right.
So let's look at what am I doing for my health? Can I control that? Can I eat better? Can I exercise a little bit? Can I look at this engine, right? Part of that whole engine, you've got the computer that goes with that now, so your brain. You have to start with your brain and say, all right, well, what is it that I need to reprogram? Because, we all know everything we learned and all the rest. Most of it is not true. We believe it because we think it's true. But at the end of the day, it's things that we were taught or things that we learned that were based on our past, right? So you have to reprogram that. And coming back to my example of learning another language, you can't just listen to something once. If you're going to reprogram your subconscious, you're going to reprogram your mind. It's a lot of work in the sense that you need to really find the proper tools and you need to start saying, well, can I really be happy? Can I really have more money? Can I really be abundant? Can I really have great relationships if all I'm focusing on is the lack of money, lack of abundance, lack of relationships. It's impossible.
Right.
Everybody knows that.
Right.
It's impossible. Mm-hmm. So start with the basics. Right?
Yeah.
Just go right down to the basics. If you're unhappy, identify why. Right. And go through the basics.
Well, that sounds to me like I need some self-awareness.
Yes.
You
and
know,
you
I
come
need to know. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's self-awareness. And what I love the term self-mastery.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can't control your thoughts, and I had an experience a while ago, and I looked at the gentleman and I said, are you able to control your thoughts? And if that gentleman would have said no, then I would have said, you need to go get medical because 25% at least of people suffer from mental illness. That's not a joke. That's something that needs to be taken care of from a professional, and we need to look at the chemical and the biologics and all the rest that go there. But if you're able to control your thoughts, then you need to master yourself, which is self-mastery, mm-hmm. and you certainly don't try to do that alone. You need help, and you need to find the proper people that resonate with you, and you need to get the right guidance, and you need to control that so you master yourself.
Mm-hmm. A mentor.
Exactly.
So how would somebody go about finding a mentor or somebody, what do you do?
It's, you know, there's a variety of different ways. My favorite way is obviously now since we've had the internet, prior to the internet, it was talking to people, asking what kind of books they read, who do they follow,
and
a bunch of different videos and a bunch of different CDs back then with guys like Jim Rohn and Dennis Waitley, and there's a whole slew of them, obviously Tony Robbins and so on and so forth. But I mean, now with the internet, align yourself with people that have my biggest thing, bar none, is common values. So they have to have values that they're not cheating people, that they're honest people, that they're people that, so this is just me now, right? And then of course they have to be positive, like-minded, in which they want to make a difference in the world. So then I start looking at gurus, I start looking at people that follow, but don't just say it. They live it. And with the internet now, there's a variety of different, and whether we know it or not, everybody has a guru. Everybody's following someone. Everybody is being influenced by someone. So why not make it someone that's positive or someone that's going to make a difference in your world, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Yeah. You know, and speaking of that, when you're talking about the faux pas, so your first faux pas is not admitting there's a problem.
Yeah.
Explain that one.
Yeah, well, and it comes back to what we were talking about before when you were asking about, you know, where do people start? Well, start by number one. This came about because about 15 years ago, I had started writing a chapter, which is kind of funny. And this is a lot of what I was writing is in here. But it was called The 12 Steps to Business Success. And it was based on the 12 steps of AA. And I didn't know what the 12 steps were. I just kept hearing this 12-step program. And the first step was admitting that there's a problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to make a change, well, just identify and say, well, listen, there's an issue. So I don't have enough money, or my career's no good, or my relationships aren't good, or I've got a lack of abundance or financial freedom or whatever it is that you're – and identify it and admit that there's a problem. Once, I'll ask you this question. Are you able to change anyone?
No.
Right. But a person can change themselves.
Absolutely.
You can be an influencer, and with what you do, Mary Lee, and all the stuff that you work on, influences people, but ultimately, I can't change no one. But someone can change themselves. And it's unfortunate because it usually takes a catastrophe of some sort. So you get a heart attack, or you go bankrupt, or your children leave because you're an alcoholic, or whatever it is. There's just a catastrophe, and then that person says, "Oh, I'm gonna change." And all of a sudden, you see the person that had the heart attack lose the 50 or 60 pounds. They're back in shape. They've got all. But it took that awakening to. What I'm saying is, don't wait for that to happen.
Absolutely.
Identify before that happens, right?
Right.
So, you want it.
That's great advice. I think one of the things, you know, if it's difficult to admit there's a problem, if you can finally just say, I'm just not happy. Right. I don't even know what the problem is. I'm just not happy.
Yeah, right? Exactly. There's admitting. There's admitting something. Like, be truthful to yourself. Start the process of self-mastery, and the first thing you have to do is say, I'm not happy. Well, great. If you're not happy, this is wow. You've already on the path of saying, I'm not happy. It can be in business, can be in finances, or just in general, but identify, I'm not happy. Well, what are you not happy about? Most people will know. They're really good, actually, at telling you what they don't like. I can ask someone, what don't you like? And there's a list of 50 things that come up. What do you like?
Exactly.
What's your passion? So it's just funny how we're really good at doing that. But absolutely, start with something simple like that. Just say, I'm not happy. There's the problem. I've admitted that I've got a problem. Okay, challenge anyone. Go on the internet. Push in happiness. There'll be 6.5 billion things that come up on how to change that. And, you know, we always laugh because you hear when you're younger, knowledge is power. That is so not true anymore, right? Because if that was true, everybody would be a millionaire. Everybody would be a millionaire. Everybody would have.
What's true power?
True power?
Everybody's reading like crazy. Yeah, I mean, if everybody's reading like crazy, trying to get all this knowledge in their head, and then you're saying, well, knowledge is not power. So it's like, wait, the brakes?
What I mean is that it's what you do with the knowledge that gives you the power. Because if you tell me, Norm, this is how you do this, and you're going to be financially independent, and I don't do it, well, I know that that's what I need to do, but I didn't do it. So the knowledge didn't give me much. But if you take the knowledge and you, because I can, again, with Google out there, and even if you don't have a computer, you can get to a library and use that the public system, whatever it takes, you can get that knowledge. But you need to do something with it. How many books have you ever read or I've ever read and they're sitting on the shelf and they're, okay, great, but I've never done nothing with it. So I've got the knowledge. That was great. But I didn't do anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm saying you've got to take that to the next step. And because if it was true, everybody'd be a millionaire. Everybody'd be driving $5 million cars. Everybody, it's just not true that the knowledge is the power. It's what you do with it.
Right. It reminds me, it's the difference between, you know, being a computer or being human. The computer doesn't do anything but supply knowledge.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
We got to take it and go do something with it. Yep.
Yeah, it's such a great analogy. Such a great analogy of using the human and the computer, because the computer has all the knowledge, but they can't do anything with it. We can.
Right. We can. That's right. So in that faux pas, you say here at the bottom, it's all about what. If you do not know what you want, then there's probably a good chance you'll never get it.
That's right.
Why people are so unhappy. That's exactly
Absolutely.
What we're talking about. The what?
Absolutely.
You know, I don't have time to think about what.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of people say it's about the why, which is super important. I mean, obviously, there's whys, but it's really the what. And one of the best examples I have in my own personal life is we brought a really amazing business to Winnipeg. And we were sitting in this establishment, and my wife looked at me and said, oh, this would be great to have that in Winnipeg. And I said, yeah, let's do it. And she says, well, how? And I said, it really doesn't matter the how, because the what is the important thing. The what is that we wanted to bring this, and we brought it to Winnipeg, a pretty substantial enterprise. And it's just cool to see that. The mind said, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I was going to do it. I had no clue. And that's just how it is. So it backs up to what we were talking about right from the get-go, is what is it that you want? And nothing's going to stop you from getting what you want. It's just the way it goes.
Right. If you actually give time and attention to that what, you know, if you're really thinking about that what, because like you said here, it says there's a good chance you're not going to get it if you don't know the what. Because you're not giving any vibration out to the universe that you want anything. So
that's right.
There's no answer.
Hmm. No.
Yeah.
It's just, but it's amazing. And I don't know, again, if you ask people, mm-hmm. what is it they want? A lot might say, I don't know. Well, there's a good chance that's what you're going to get then. Like,
right.
It's like, what is it that you need to identify what it is you want? And get down to the root of things. So you say, I want more money. Okay, great. That's mm-hmm. fantastic. And then you say, well, why do you want that money? Right? And then you say, well, why, mm-hmm. why? Well, usually it comes down to, I want to be happy. Right? So it's like,
mm-hmm.
okay, well,
right.
then really the root is the happiness. Well, that's what you want is the happiness. What do you need to do to get the happiness? So it's all these mm-hmm. little tricks and techniques that anybody can Google and learn and say, all right, well, let's just get down to the what of it all. And then figure out
right.
the hows always appear for some strange reason again. It's just
true.
The law.
But, you know, even
law.
To your point, even
yeah.
to your point, if they're saying, you know, they want the money, and then the root of it is happiness, right? That means
yep.
they're thinking that money brings happiness. But anybody
correct.
Who has money realizes that's not it.
That's correct. And there's just as many miserable happy people, I mean, rich people, as there is just as many miserable poor people.
Yes.
So if we knew if money brought happiness, you know everybody that's rich would be happy. So we know
yeah,
beyond reasonable doubt that's not true. It's just that poor people say, well, more money will bring me happiness.
Yeah.
When really all they want is happiness.
Right. And why can't we be happy today? It's because
correct.
Those conditions we're putting on ourselves. Can't find that money. I don't have that money yet.
That's correct.
Like,
it's
no.
exactly. Yeah, it's a perfect coming back to the beginning. Just be happy now. While you're in pursuit
yep.
of what you want, but be happy now.
Yep. Yeah, it's that happiness now that brings you more happiness.
That's right. Yeah.
So faux pas number two. Can I
yeah.
go ahead? Were you going to say something?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, so you said faux pas number two is not having a roadmap. Because you must have a roadmap, a plan on how to deal with them. So explain that.
Yeah, sure. So
identifying
the obstacle. Yeah. So first thing is you say, good. I've got a problem. Okay, whatever that may be. I'm not happy. I've got whatever it is. And this you can apply obviously to business or to your. I always say a business is really a separate human, a separate person, because a business has friends. A business has a personality, a business has the same thing as an individual has finances, it has relationships, it has, it's the same. So I kind of put the two into the same bucket. So you say, okay, great, I've got an issue. Well, now you need to say, well, okay, this is what I want. Well, what's my role? What am I going to do to get to that? So I need to put some steps into place and identify a roadmap. We can say GPS, you can say whatever you want. The bottom line is that you need to identify a way to get to where you want to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I hear that. I totally hear that. And I think, you know, for some people, it's difficult to find that roadmap when they don't even know where they're going. Like you said, it's like, where are you going?
Yeah.
And the first step is to be happy.
Well, there. But if the key is happiness, then you put the roadmap.
Yeah.
It's such a critical element to the success of everything. Because if you don't, if you don't put a plan to your success, there's no way you're going to get to it. And I've used to use the analogy, I still do, is like, it's like playing hockey without a net or football without a goal. Really, it wouldn't be very much fun, right? I mean, you'd be running around,
no,
skating
no.
around an ice rink
right.
or running around a football
yeah,
field. So why don't you have the, why don't you put that into your life? Make it a game, have fun with it. Say, hey, this is what I want. I want happiness. I want more money. I want more success. I want more. And it's great. Well, okay, let's do a roadmap. Well, that's fantastic. Let's figure out what kind of a roadmap do I need? What elements in that roadmap need to be there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
there's usually about three things that have to be in a roadmap so that people can achieve what they need to achieve.
You know, it sounds to me like, first of all, to go over what we were talking about, it's, you know, first we need to be happy. Happy now, whatever it is, you got to be happy. You got to change
right.
your attitude.
That's right.
And change your, right? To have the
yep.
right frame of mind to understand what it is you want.
Yes.
You know, give yourself the freedom to design what you want and then
yep.
come to this roadmap. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, it's perfect. That's exactly what it is. It's like you're taking the words right out of my mouth. It's so you say, I mean, again, you can challenge anybody. How, if you don't have the right attitude, so if you don't have the right attitude, you don't have the right frame of mind, how can you be happy? It's impossible. You, first of all, you can't have a negative thought or and a positive thought at the same time. It's impossible. You can't, you just can't. It's physically impossible. I always say that in the human body, you can't feel pain at two different places at once. So you, in any system, you can't be positive and negative at the same time. It doesn't work, right? So if you change your attitude, you get in the right frame of mind, then the chances of the happiness now or whatever it is, it's going to be, well, it's going to be not almost 100% guaranteed.
Yeah. Do you think the problem with knowing what we want is due to our belief of having it?
Sorry, I missed that part, Mary Lee. Can you just...
Oh, I said, do you think that part of our problem or our is our belief system in what we could have? You know, that's our problem. It's like, I can't figure out my what because I don't believe I can have it.
Well, the thing is that that's such a fantastic point, is that we tend to disqualify ourselves before, right? So I always... I'm the youngest of six kids, and thankfully I have amazing brothers and sister. But, I mean, you learn from them. And I remember when I was really young, he said, you know, let someone else disqualify you. Don't disqualify yourself. Because I was really young, like 20, 21, applying for pharmaceutical jobs, and I don't have the qualities. I'm not qualified enough. It's just, whoa, wait a minute. Let someone else disqualify you. Don't disqualify yourself. So it's like people disqualify
That's
themselves.
That's powerful.
They disqualify themselves before they start. So if you tell yourself, no, I don't deserve this, or I believe that. And when I was younger growing up, you heard people say, well, I'm just a, insert last name, whatever your last name is. I'm just a whatever. And I'm just a Mr. Brown. And well, the Brown family, that's what we are. We're losers. We don't do much. We don't do much in life. And we're all alcoholics, and I'm like, wow, you've just disqualified yourself from absolutely everything in life. It's sad. It was really sad. I'm like, don't ever think like that. You have to say, are you kidding me? If Oprah would have said that, or if how many different people we could would have ever said that, they never would have amounted to who they are now. But yeah, it's really what you just said is that belief system, and it's critical to making sure that you.
Such a powerful statement. Let someone else disqualify you. You need to walk around with the attitude of, I can do this. I am qualified for this.
Right.
Even if you're not.
You know what? Absolutely. Why? And it's worked amazing for me because I got all the jobs that I wanted and I did everything I wanted. It's like, so what? If I don't get the job, will he disqualify me? But I didn't. Right. I think it's an amazing way to look at things. Let someone else disqualify you. There's that statement and always go to the bank when you don't need money. But anyway.
Yeah. That is so powerful. You know, I really hope listeners like sit down and contemplate for a moment. Let someone else disqualify you. Do they have evidence?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Stand up
no,
and
it's
do
true,
your best
but,
job.
But it's amazing to me, and it's based on our belief system and breaking those beliefs because we disqualify ourselves. And it's actually quite sad because how do you get even, you know, off the starting line is you wake up and you just say, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. I don't believe I can do that. When
you
the
know
belief
what
is
I'm
really,
hearing. Mm-hmm. What I'm hearing in that is that a lack of faith. People forget. It's like even if they say they believe in God, it's like, well, God is within us, and God, and there's no limits there. So how are you not qualified?
you're not. It's impossible. You are qualified. It's just that someone, you're your biggest cheerleader. You're your biggest everything. And if you don't master that, and you wake up saying, I'm not qualified for it. I'm not good enough for it. Well, guess what? You're right. Either way, you're right. Either way, you're right. But why not try? And that's all we can say to people is no matter where they are in life, whether they're super happy, whether they're super successful, there's always more. There's always more excitement. There's always more coming to life every day. It's so much fun. Just try.
It is so much fun. I'm right there with you. You know, but I think maybe people are just, you know, those who are struggling are thinking too far out, like, oh, God, I'll never be a millionaire. I'll never see that much money. And you're not looking to that success. You can't put that money on today. You have to just be successful in today, this moment, in your seconds, like you said, right?
Right. No, absolutely. And again, anybody can do this if you have Google. Go put whatever dollars in a bank account right now and compound it over 35 years, and it doesn't take much today to become a millionaire. It's really crazy how little money it is. It's absolutely ridiculous. And my sons are 18 and 20, and I tell them, it's not important how much you put something aside, and you'll see what happens. This beautiful thing we call compounding, and I love there's a book called The Compound Effect. It's on everything, whether it's health, whether it's everything. And money is just one of those things that you can actually look in a bank account and see. It would be fun if you could see your happiness in a bank account and you could see your health in a bank account. And, you know, the same type of a graph where you could see your financial situation. You could see your health. It's really that compound effect. And anyone who can just go on the internet and say, if I put $10 a day or if I put $5 a day, there's a great book called The Latte Factor, where really if someone says, I don't have any money, well, quit buying your Starbucks latte and put $5 a day aside, and it's crazy what's going to happen in the next short while, right? But
that is so profound. What you're saying is so profound because when we're talking about compounding, you're talking about money. You're talking about, you know, good things that are doubling, right? But in reality, so many of us are compounding our problems, compounding our debt, compounding our illness. What are we doing?
That's right. It's exactly the same thing. So the compound works in the positive and the compound works in the negative. It's exactly identical. There's nobody that has ever proven to me that law, it's a law, that what you're doing right now in these seconds has a profound effect on everything that's going to happen, especially now, but in the future also. And hit it right on the hammer right on the nail again. It's like, it's exactly perfect. It goes both ways. And it's horrible because the more you have the problem, the more you get in debt, the more everything, and then bang, crisis happens. And then hopefully either that person doesn't get out of it and unfortunately passes away or the business goes bankrupt, or the person says bang, and then they become better and everything changes for them.
Right. And you know, those small changes. I mean, if you're, let's say, you know, you're going to have the Diet Coke and you're going to have a hamburger or whatever, and you look at it and you say, oh my gosh, I'm compounding my problem when I really want to lose weight. Yeah. Or I'm buying the purse. You know, why do I need to spend $500 or $1,000 on a purse? I'm compounding my problem. I'm in debt.
That's right. And I mean, you talk about losing weight, and losing weight is a science, right? A lot of people, I don't even know what the industry is, billions of dollars now, but there's basically 3,500 calories in a pound, 3,500 calories in a pound.
Mm-hmm.
So
when you
break it down into the micronutrients and you start looking at something simple like that, say, well, if there's 3,500 calories in a pound and I want to lose a pound, well, then I need to reduce my caloric intake or increase the expenditure by 100 calories. After 35 days, I should have lost a pound. Like if you break it down into simple elements like that and not say, I want to lose 50 pounds or I want to be a millionaire, or I want to break it down in small little achievable in your, you know, bites, right? You don't need the elephant. Mm-hmm. It's just one bite at a time. But it's just a way of looking at turning it around and looking at it a different way, saying, well, this is what I'm going to do. And putting a plan in place and following a roadmap, saying,
so that gets to your next faux pas, which is not getting the proper guidance.
And it's a critical one because we've all had advice from people. And the worst thing you could do is, I'll use the weight problem, take advice on how to lose weight from a 400-pound person. Right? It just right. doesn't work. So make sure that so if you want to be happy, don't go see a multimillionaire who's miserable. You know, if you want to be rich, and you don't go see somebody who's broke. But where do a lot of people get their advice is from friends and family or people that they're surrounded with, and they're not getting the proper guidance, the proper advice, right? And that's the same thing for a business. A business will often hire a consultant, and this consultant comes in and charges them $50,000 or $5,000 or whatever it is, and the consultant puts together a great big plan, and here you go. It's not really going to work unless that consultant has a vested interest in seeing you succeed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just like fad diets, I can guarantee you if I were to lose 10 pounds, I can lose 10 pounds in 5 days. It's pretty easy to do. I will be completely dehydrated. I'll lose 10 pounds of water very quickly, and you know it's not going to work. So what you need to do is get down and make sure that you get – it's really the best way to lose weight is how. It's called change your lifestyle. It's really categorically it works, and it's cheap, and it costs nothing to do. You change your lifestyle, right? Well, same thing for business, same thing for life. Get the proper guidance, get the proper, and again, with Google, or if you do hire a consultant, make sure there's a vested interest on their part to make sure that you're successful. And it's just such a critical element of making sure that you're, and it comes back to what we were talking about before, and that's finding a good mentor, a good success coach, putting together a mastermind group of people. There's so many different ways of doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I'm thinking people look at diets, just back to that analogy, you know, it's like, oh gosh, I got to reduce 3,500 calories. I don't even eat anything as it is, you know, and, you know, they're hopeless because they've tried everything. But really, if you just eat more, you got to eat more. Less calorie dense foods,
right?
You're going to be fine.
That's right.
It's
so simple,
it's
almost unbelievable. But the reality, and not that there's a conspiracy going out there, but the reality is there's a lot of money being made off of people to keep them overweight, to keep them miserable, to keep them. There's a lot of money being made. So advertisers and all, they're very, very smart as to saying, well, do this and you're going to be happy. And if you go down into a diet, if you go down to any food store and go down the diet aisle, and I'll almost guarantee you everybody in there will be overweight. And you just kind of go, it's obvious diet drinks don't work. It's like...
No, they don't. They don't. Again, it comes back to accountability for ourselves. When you say we need to change behavior in order to see different results.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What's my behavior?
Right. What am I doing consistently every day that makes me who I am? And which behaviors do I need to change?
I'm driving to McDonald's and I need to have the new purse. I just have to, Norm.
I always say there's nothing wrong with driving expensive cars, and I love cars and owning nice homes and all. I think that's fantastic, but if you're unhappy getting to that point, that's success without fulfillment. Success without fulfillment is the ultimate failure, right? So we come down to looking at things and saying, well, and we all know people who are crazy wealthy and are absolutely miserable. And we know people who have no money or relatively amount, but are super happy. And, you know, just understanding what it is. But some people, maybe it's not happiness they want. Maybe it is cars and all the rest. But bottom line is that it usually brings you back down to that brings me happiness. So usually it comes back down to that. Everybody wants the same the basic thing of being happy and fulfillment, right?
Right. And that can't be stressed enough. You know, somebody who has made it financially, but has not found their happiness in every step, it's fruitless. It was a waste of time. you're going to find yourself at the end of the road looking back going, what was it all for?
And I mean, and that, Tony Robbins uses the analogy of Robin Williams, right? And here's a guy who had everything. He had money.
Yeah.
He had won all the awards. He had did everything else, and he hung himself. And it's just like, it's unbelievable, right? When you think of someone that you think had everything. And at the end of the day, success without fulfillment is just not, it's horror, right? And there's a lot of things there, but it's just one example of.
That's where it comes back to your attitude is everything. What was your attitude while you were going through all the steps to get your success?
If you're
dreading each day, waking up, going, oh, I got to do this again, you're not on the right track.
No, and I'm laughing because I was there, and you wake up and you just go, oh, making a lot of money doing something, but you're not happy doing it. And at the end of the day, you just say, listen, this is just not the way life is supposed to be. This is not who I am. This is not. And I could almost challenge anyone. You know it deep inside your heart and your feelings that you feel if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Usually your gut feeling is pretty much 100% accurate.
Always, always. That interior intuition, that's God speaking. Follow it.
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It's our head where the devil lives.
I always say.
Here's another one. Go ahead.
I always say that. I forgot what I was going to say. Go ahead, Mary.
We're talking about that. It says, when the fire dies down, the predators come in. And that's literally, you know, when you're not moving toward your goal, is what you're saying here, then in that quiet moment, the devil sneaks into your head and starts to destroy
it
all.
And that comes from Mike Litkin, who's a motivational speaker up here in Canada, who I've had the pleasure to dine with, and just an amazing guy. But we'll finish on this. There's just an interesting story because basically there's people that are on a safari in Africa. And the keeper came up at night. He said, well, make sure that you keep putting wood on the fire, because when the fire dies down, the predators come in. And I thought, oh, my God, is that ever incredible? That's true for anything. So if you're not happy at your marriage, you look at, where was that fire when I first met my wife or husband or partner? Where was that fire? It's just an amazing fire. And then all of a sudden that fire starts dying down. And what happens? Uh-oh. The predators start coming in. And what you need to do to make that successful is keep throwing wood on the fire. So whether it's marriage, whether it's money, whether it's happiness, whether it's success, whether it's whatever you want, if the fire dies down, the predators come in. And it's such a great way of looking at it, because it's easy to remember, say, is the fire going, or am I really leaving that fire go away? And subsequent to that, if the fire is dying down, uh-oh, here's where the predators start coming in.
That's exactly right. And I think everybody can feel that. It's like, oh, man, those voices. Yep.
Those voices.
Keep busy with what you want. It's those voices. We've got a couple minutes left. I just wanted to, reiterate, too, your points are just beautiful. Do what you love, first of all.
Yes.
And refuse to consider the possibility of failure.
Yep.
Right? And attitude is everything.
Yes.
No, it's a pleasure having you on. This hour went by so fast.
Level 10.
Oh, my goodness. We were buzzing for sure.
Level 10 all the way in.
Where can we find you?
So you can find me at normdupa.com. And then you can also look at livelifeatlevel10.com. And that'll bring you to Jim Britt's website. And the whole wonderful Live Life at Level 10 program and everything else that we're working on, just to make sure that my dream is to make sure everybody has the opportunity to live their life at level 10 and enjoy every second of every day. And when bad things happen to you, try to react as positively as you can. But bottom line is you're in control. So.
Absolutely. And if anybody would like a signed copy from Norm, you can contact me. We'll track them down.
You bet.
BrittVentures.com. And you can also go to Amazon and get a copy of the book there if you like. And if you are interested in being a co-author to joining us, again, email me at marilee@brickventures.com. And everybody, thank you for listening, and have a wonderful day.